Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Does anybody remember what I talked about last time I was up here?
There was a man.
That was the time before.
Oh.
It's 80% ring a bell? Well, 80% of the reason I'm up here is because Bill's not. But anyway. Talked about showing up. What did the Bible have to say about showing up? So my wife made this for me. Because I'm here.
So, wait, what
does it say? It says, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
She does the rubber stamp things, makes cards and stuff. So I said, I want a stamp that says I'm here. So I am here. Today I want to talk about distractions. Yes, 80% of success is showing up, but you need to engage. You need to participate in the process, be part of the process. I'm going to talk about a couple examples that I went into last time, one of which is Saul's army. We've heard the story of David and Goliath, where David slays Goliath. There was a lot going on before that story, or earlier in that story. So I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 17, 8 through 11. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So they were the people of God, they were the army of God, but they were scared. Supposedly, if I read this right, he was 9 feet tall and had this big heavy metal armor, so they were scared of Goliath. If we look at the story of Nehemiah, that's where the walls of Israel have been destroyed and Nehemiah undertakes a project to rebuild them. I got a lot of bookmarks today. Apparently I didn't mark that one, so that's Nehemiah 4, 10, and 11. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came over and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." So they were overwhelmed, too much rubble to even begin to rebuild it. And they were scared too, because the enemies were saying they would come and kill them. They didn't want them rebuilding their wall. So basically their distraction was fear. What kind of distractions do we have today in our modern times? Well, one example I recall is when we first started coming back after COVID, we were meeting here, and it was new to us because we were out for a long time with COVID, or not with COVID, but because of COVID. But I remember that all the squirrels would do this amazing performance out on the wires. You'd be running back and forth and sitting there eating nuts and all this stuff. And so that was kind of amusing. I don't remember what Bill preached about that day, but I do remember the squirrels. And other times later, those windows were really dirty for a long time. I'm saying, why don't they wash those windows? Well, hey, they've been done. I don't know when it happened. I'm guessing last week, because if they were clean last week, I didn't notice. Something that might be distracting for some is, why is that guy wearing earplugs during praise music? And that guy's me. I was working with a loud power tool over at Maple Street and realized that afternoon I couldn't hear out of this ear. I can still hear some, but at certain frequencies and certain volumes, it sounds like you're listening to the radio station, but it's slightly off and it's very staticky. So if you see me with earplugs, it's not that I don't like the music. It's because sometimes it doesn't sound like music when I'm hearing it. So, but when I turn the volume down with earplugs, it works fine. Sometimes we're distracted by our afternoon plans. What are we going to do this afternoon? Or the big game this afternoon? Or for parents, one that I imagine has come up from time to time is you hear the noise from a child in the back, and it's like, is that my kid? So some other modern-day distractions we may have is comfort. We exert a lot of effort to be comfortable. Possessions. Do we own our possessions, or do they own us? I know that everything I own works perfectly until I try to use it. That's when I find out it doesn't work. Here's one. Our phones. Phones ding, we gotta check it. And I've been especially distracted because my phone took a dip in the pool Friday. This is now a different phone, and I'm still trying to get used to it. And it makes all different sounds from my old one. So what does that ding mean? What does that chirp mean? Finding all that. Clutter. It is suggested that the state of a person's garage might mirror the state of their mind. So I will ask you not to come and look at my garage. Busyness. Are we so busy that we can't finish or don't finish one thing before we start another? Well, I fall into that category because that's why my garage is cluttered, because I never quite finish putting everything away. 95% of it gets put away, but that other 5% adds up. In one book I was reading, they made an allusion to sailing. If you think about it, when you're a person sailing a boat, it's easiest to go in the direction of the wind. But a good sailor can go whatever direction he wants. He may have to tack into the wind, but they can even go in a direction counter to the wind. So that's what we need to do, is to try to be a good sailor. So what is a biblical definition of distraction? And this was in a book I looked at. So the act of distracting, drawing apart, a separation. It divides our attention. It diverts us away from what we want to do or should be doing. Confusion from a multiplicity of objects crowding on the mind and calling attention different ways. So again, it's diverting our attention from our main focus. Confusion of affairs, tumult, disorder. Never was, an example is a statement they had, is never was known a night of such distraction. Madness, a state of disordered reason, franticness, furiousness. Something my mom used to say when I was a kid. It's like, why are you running around like a chicken with your head cut off? So when we're so distracted that we can't focus, and when I was in school, especially when I was in grad school, a term we used a lot is, you know, you've got an assignment or a problem to solve or a paper to write, but you can't get started. There's just so much information, you don't know where to start. We called that analysis paralysis, where we just couldn't get going. So what are some things the Bible has to say about distractions? I'm going to look at Proverbs 4, 25 to 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So stay focused, stay on target. Don't let all these distractions get in your way. 1 Corinthians 7, 35. Apparently I didn't mark that one either. Sorry about that. First Corinthians 7:35. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. And finally, Philippians 4:8. This is a verse it's meant a lot to me over the years. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So again, avoid distraction, try to stay focused, think about these good things, the things God would have us thinking about. So there's some biblical examples of distraction. We know the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus was staying at their house. Mary was sitting at his feet listening. Martha was in the kitchen, making sure everything was just right. And she was so busy that she was kind of missing the point. She was doing a good thing, but not the best thing. In the story of Samson and Delilah, Samson was a great warrior for the Lord. Slew many of the enemy armies, but a woman distracted him and lured him into telling a secret that if they cut his hair, he would lose his strength. So why should we avoid distraction? I've talked a lot about actual distractions, but why should we avoid them? I think this Bible verse sums it up pretty well. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Pretty strong words. If Satan can't destroy us, he will distract us. He will take us away from doing God's work, his work, and take away from his words. So, distractions are a trick from the enemy. If we're distracted by the noise of the world, we can't hear the voice of God. And there's lots of noises out there. There's lots of things demanding our attention every day. Again, if he cannot destroy us, he will distract us. Also, distractions pull us away from what we really want to do. If we want to be spending time with our friends and family, yet our phone goes off and we get sucked into here, that takes away from the time that we wanted to spend with those around us. There's there's some additional Bible verses about distraction. If my page is out of order, I will be in trouble. Mark 4:19. This is an excerpt from the parable of the seeds that were scattered in the field. Some fell on the path, some fell among the thorns. Excuse me. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So again, those distractions that divert our attention can make us unfruitful. We may never accomplish anything. Ephesians 5:15-16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So making the most of every opportunity. Distractions will prevent us from making the most of an opportunity. And how many opportunities pass us by and we don't even realize it? And something in a chapter in a book I read, he was talking about credit cards. You know, they can be a distraction. But, you know, sometimes if there's something, an issue that needs to be resolved, and we whip out our credit card, go further into debt to deal with that issue, maybe we've robbed ourselves of the opportunity to see how God was going to work. Maybe that's the easy solution. Certainly the one that springs to mind first, like, let's just whip out the wallet, whip out the credit card, throw money at it. Maybe that'll make it better. And that's not always the way God wants to work it out. Matthew, excuse me, Matthew 6, 31 to 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So pagans just means unbelievers, chasing after the things in this life rather than the eternal things. Finally, Revelations 2, verses 3 and 4. You have persevered and have endured hardships in my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. So basically, we need to, I think in this example, they were doing good stuff, but not the best stuff. They had become so involved with performance and repetition that they were losing their focus on the love of God. So we need to not get so busy with doing that our relationship with God suffers. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So, you know, we have many motivations in what we do in our daily lives. But sometimes are we trying to live up to some image of ourselves that we want other people to see? Are we trying to keep up with someone else? Or are we sincerely devoting ourselves to doing the work of the Lord the best way we can? It's very easy to get distracted. If we are distracted by the noise of the world, we can't hear the voice of God. So I'm going to share a few tips for overcoming distraction. I found this material on a website. I'll share that with you at the end. And some of it is from a book I've been reading, and some of it was from a website. But basically, I Googled, what does the Bible have to say about distraction? That's kind of where some of this came from. But the first tip is to seek God first thing in the morning. And we have an example of that. Christ himself. In Mark 1, 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus himself sought God first thing in the morning. And David, who wrote all the Psalms, he also would seek God first thing in the morning. And the second one is choose a focus for the day, write it down, and put it someplace where you see it. All I know is I accomplish a lot more on a day where I planned what I was going to do than on a day where I didn't plan what I was going to do. And putting that somewhere visible helps keep us on track. The third one is to pursue contentment. And that's part of me is like, well, isn't that a distraction, being content? But no, if we're content, we're not having to get that latest new thing if we feel like our neighbors have stuff we don't have or have it better than we do, that can lead to jealousy or anger and envy. We may expend a lot of effort to get that better thing, that new whatever. And it can lead to anxiety. Discontentment can lead to anxiety. And I have a friend, and hopefully he never hears this story, but he bought it was a used car, very slightly used car, and he thought it had a certain feature, and he was told it had a certain feature, but it didn't. And when he figured it out, he was really kind of mad. And he and his wife were supposed to be spending a special day together. But he was so distracted with that, his wife was very disappointed. And I don't know if he knows that. I've certainly done the same kind of thing. And then a humorous story I read. I think this story was written before Apple Watches existed. But a man's at the airport, forgot his watch. And you see some inventor that has this watch that does all this stuff. And he's like, I got to have that. So he's making the inventor offers. And no, it's not for sale. I don't want to sell it. And finally, he makes a ridiculously high offer. And the guy says, okay, I'll sell it to you. So the transaction occurs. He puts the watch on. And the guy says, be sure you get batteries for that, too. He forgot the batteries. So, yeah, all that new thing that's going to make life better, it always has loose ends, things that have to be taken care of. Be intentional for our time. Set aside time for what's important to us. Try to rid ourselves of distractions. And I've been, this is the time of year when everybody goes on vacation. Why do we have to go away to take a vacation? Why don't we have a staycation, stay at home? That was a big word during COVID. And Ellen and I have done it a couple times. We took a week off, but you still see, the grass needs to be mowed, and I never did fix that, and, the phone's not working. And when you go away, at least you're away from the distractions you have at home. And I don't know if distraction is the right word for that, but we see all these things at home, reminders of things that we feel like we should be spending our time on rather than vacation. So it's best to go away, at least for us. And finally, reading the Bible every day. Reading the Bible every day reminds us of who God is and who we are and our relationship to Him. And finally, we have to remember our identity in Christ. If we're unsure of who we are, we use our resources to figure out who we are, or try to, rather than doing what God desires us to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. So we are Christ's ambassadors. And we need to remind ourselves of this, stay focused on this, so we're not distracted with trying to figure out who we are. And I'm getting to be a certain age, close to retirement. But, when I was much younger, it's like, oh, man, maybe I should be looking for a job over here. I could make more money here. But, and make a long story short, we lived in Tennessee and Ohio, and then we moved to Highland. So I took the long way around to get a job 2 miles from work. But but now that I'm older, I'm not quite as distracted by those kinds of things. Remember, God created us with a plan and purpose in mind. The enemy will try to distract you any way he can. It takes effort, discipline, and constant communion with God through prayer to thwart him. And I didn't do a prayer when I started. I'd like to do a prayer now. And then I'll wind up. Dear Lord, Lord God, today we pray that you would help us attend to you without distraction. May we do what you called us to do and be who you called us to be without being distracted by the things of this world. Please show us the way to go and apply full focus to get there. Amen. So thank you everyone for your attention. Hope I didn't go too long or too short. I did have a lot of bookmarks. I had so many I couldn't find them. But this material, these verses and the definition of distraction and these 5 points for helping to overcome distraction is from a website I found. It was called Therapy for Christians. And the topic was 10 Bible verses to overcome distraction. So some of this material I used, I just wanted to make sure that that I give them the proper credit. So thank you, everyone.